when we talk about something like cancer, I think our response is to always try to remove or eliminate what's making us sick. But with autoimmune diseases, it's our sometimes it's our own immune system that's reacting and in not the best way possible. We're going to talk about autoimmune diseases right now with our guest, Dr. Dan Muller. Dr. Daniel Muller is an associate professor of rheumatology at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Great to have him with us to talk about autoimmune diseases. And we certainly look forward to your questions or comments. You may have an autoimmune disease. Which one? What's it meant for you? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Dan Muller, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
And we want to. I may want to start by talking about autoimmune. What is an autoimmune disease? That's something. I mean, we hear that term all the time, and I'm not sure all of us know exactly what we're talking about.
Autoimmune diseases really compass a large range of diseases with a lot of different features. The more common ones would be like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. But there's many, there's probably at least 200 different forms that we know of.
Wow. So the immune system fights off infections and diseases when it's working well. So this may be too much of a good thing in a way?
In some ways you could think about it that way. I prefer to think about it more as it's more of a dysregulation of the immune system. So it's not really an over-response as a generalization, but it's much more of a specific mistake where we're attacking the self instead of attacking the viruses, the fungi, the bacteria.
Okay. And what kinds of symptoms do people have?
Yeah, the symptoms can be in any part of the body, including some autoimmune diseases that we don't treat as rheumatologists, like multiple sclerosis affecting the central nervous system, diabetes type 1, which affects the pancreas, and even most cases of hypothyroidism.
Okay.
We are concerned with most of the diseases that affect the joints, but also it can extend to affecting the heart, the brain, and skin, pretty much any system.
Oh, man. Dr. Daniel Muller, our guest today, as we talk with him about autoimmune diseases. He's an associate professor of rheumatology at UW Medicine School of Medicine and Public Health. Tony in Mount Horeb has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Tony.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. I was diagnosed with something called antiphospholipid syndrome. Kind of had worse and worse cold tolerance, especially in the feet the last few years. And last winter, actually had very reddened toes, ball of the feet, and had started developing actually lesions. And I was diagnosed by one of your cohorts there at the UW in the rheumatology division. Started on nifedipine and Plaquenil. And much better with the warm weather. I was wondering if that's typical, that's better in warm weather, or the lab tests were kind of equivocal whether this was even the correct diagnosis, or if I should just take the meds, you know, when I'm symptomatic, or year-round.
Certainly, you present a very interesting conundrum. Sometimes we don't exactly know what the true diagnosis is. Certainly, when we are in that situation, we often use the most benign medications we can. The hydroxychloroquine is a long-term medication, and that should be taken all the time. It's a good preventive for many parts of autoimmune diseases. And the nifedipine, if it's truly much better in the warm weather, you could use that, again, talking with your physician about those choices.
Okay, there you go.
Hey, thanks a lot for information.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Kate in Duluth, Minnesota next. Hi, Kate.
Hi. I'm just thrilled you're talking about autoimmune diseases. I have lupus. And two things. One, I would like, if it's okay, to give a plug to, we are having a run walk, you know, fundraiser on October 6th. It's our second annual. And if people wanted information, they could go to Minnesota Lupus Foundation to find out where it is and all of that.
Okay.
And then the second thing is I have something called central nervous system lupus. And I wondered if he would talk some about that. It's a journey that for me started in 1979. And, of course, I've lived with it now for a lot of years. And it's completely altered the path of my life. I ended up having to retire for health reasons in 1989. But I then reached out to include some complementary areas, along with using Western medication, and so that's really just really changed the direction of my life dramatically.
Yeah.
And I'll listen.
All right. Thank you for calling. What is lupus, by the way?
So lupus is sort of the classic autoimmune disease. Affects women 10 to 1 compared to men. Often young women, childbearing age, lots of times affects the skin, joints, but it can again affect almost any organ. In this case, the central nervous system can also have a huge range, including something that looks much more like depression to something that actually feels like it's destroying parts of the brain, more like a stroke.
Boy. And treatments and of that sort?
In general, we have very good treatment. In some ways, there's a problem with our treatment because some of the treatments are actually cytotoxic and actually depress the immune system to such an extent that people actually will die sometimes from our treatment because of infections. We often use prednisone for short term and then long term. If it's very severe, we use something like Cytoxan. In between would be mycophenolate or methotrexate. And then hydroxychloroquine we like to use in almost everyone.
On to Callie in Green Bay next. Hi, Callie.
Hi. I'm calling about some symptoms one of my friends has. They itch all over their skin, and it's very inflammatory. And if they don't take an antihistamine, they can't stand they're itching. They just can't stand it to the point where they have to go to the store and buy something to stop their itching. Could this be any kind of autoimmune disorder or autoimmune disease?
Well, it's always hard to make a diagnosis over the radio, but I would say the first stop would be a dermatologist.
He's gone to a dermatologist, and he wanted an allergy test, and they said, no, you'll just be inflamed from everything that you test for. So that was kind of a dead-end road.
Well, as rheumatologists, we see everybody. So if you want to send them on down, we'd be glad to see them.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you for calling. Could be. There's something there. Certainly what it means is the person should be getting more tests and more another look from another physician, doctor. Dan in Beloit, hi.
Good morning. I actually have my 10-year-old daughter. We just found out she had psoriasis, which from what I've read on the internet is an autoimmune disorder. And it hasn't been diagnosed yet, but we've researched for a good day and a half, 2 days, and figured it out. She had a rash that wouldn't go away for a long time. She'd itch and itch and itch, and it kind of starts spreading to other areas of the body, you know, and really realized it's psoriasis, and it runs in my family. I did not know that until I spoke to my father about that. But she has a dermatologist appointment in about a week and a half, somewhere in there. I was kind of wondering what I might be able to do for her to kind of get her through, because, you know, she is bad enough where it's right on her butt cheek on her right side there. And she says she's not itching yet, but when my wife washes her jeans, she realizes there's actually blood on her jeans where that is because she's itching it so bad.
Yeah.
That, you know, and we put mineral oil on it, and we read up on that. We put mineral oil, cortisone, stuff like that. Mineral oil seems to be doing a little bit. Cortisone doesn't seem to take away the itch all the way, but just kind of wondering some ideas and also what a dermatologist might give her to make it subside or go away.
Okay.
Yeah, in general, you're going to have to wait for the dermatologist. I can't, you know, advise any more than what you're doing right now. But the dermatologist has a lot more tools, including very much more higher potency types of ointments and creams, as well as there are what we call sorolins, which deposit in the skin, and sometimes they can use light therapy, both with or without sorolins.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Rachel in Menominee Falls. Hi.
Hi there. I am wondering, I have had rheumatoid arthritis for over 20 years. I'm in my mid-40s, and I've treated it on and off with methotrexate. I'm on Plaquenil currently, and I wish they had still had gold shots, but those actually work the best for me. But I'm more into homeopathic, and I would prefer not to be back on methotrexate. And I'm wondering whether it's worth seeing a different rheumatologist, because I've had varying degrees of support for the full cocktail from my various rheumatologists. And I have two questions. One is there merit to seeing a second, getting a second or even a third opinion? And the other is there anything on the horizon? I really would love to avoid some of the injectables and the biologics if I can. And having a relatively mild case, I'm wondering if there's other things that you can recommend.
If it's mild and it's not erosive, and the joints are not being destroyed, I think you can, you know, use Plaquenil and perhaps some other complementary alternative medicine things, fish oil, turmeric, ginger.
Turmeric and ginger, okay. Can I find information about that online?
Or is there a good source for that? You could buy my textbook on complementary integrative medicine.
Okay.
Integrative rheumatology.
Oh,
on Amazon.
I just caught the end of the show, so is that something that...
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my dog. Apologize for that.
Not quite the subject of today, but I have an interest in alternative and integrative medicine.
Ah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Daniel Muller is with us today. He's an associate professor of rheumatology at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Do you have an autoimmune disease, or do you know or live with someone who does? Stay with us because he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. And please post on our Facebook page. Click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates of upcoming show topics. Back after the news. Lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and Lou Gehrig's disease and type 1 diabetes, these are all very familiar conditions. You may not know that those and many others are autoimmune diseases, however, and while we're used to thinking of our immune system as protecting us, it can also attack the wrong things. Hi, Larry Mueller here. So glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Dr. Dan Muller is a professor of rheumatology at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, works with a lot of people who deal with autoimmune diseases. And maybe you're living with someone with an autoimmune disorder, or maybe you're worried about a loved one who is. Dr. Muller, happy to answer your questions when you call at 1-800-642-1234 or post a question on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates. Back after the news. When you talk about something like cancer, the response always is to try to remove or eliminate what's making us sick. With an autoimmune disease, sometimes it's our own immune system reacting in the wrong way. And there are many conditions that are autoimmune diseases, and they affect a lot of people. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have Dr. Dan Muller with us today. He's an associate professor of rheumatology at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Mueller, thanks again for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We have lots of callers online. In fact, every line's full. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Join in when you can. Michelle in Wausau, though, has a question for you, so let's go to her. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I have sarcoidosis, which was diagnosed after I had a recurring iritis. And anyway, I have granulomas in my lungs and other organs, and I was just wondering if the doctor could speak more about his book in the natural medicine that he would recommend for decreasing the inflammation.
First of all, when we talk about natural medicine, I always have to back up and say you have to take the allopathic, the regular doctor medicines as well.
Yeah.
They're in most cases, natural medicines is just not enough by itself. But when we talk about integrative medicine, we say, what else can we do?
Yeah.
And the other things that we can do is we can sometimes take some supplements, remembering that not everything that natural is safe. Exercise as you can. We like stress reduction. We've done some studies with things such as mindfulness meditation. Fish oil is a good baseline for everybody. Anti-inflammatory diet, avoiding processed foods, those kinds of things. But again, I can't stress enough that you have to take the regular good old prednisone hydroxychloroquine or whatever it is as well.
Yeah. Although I have to say, you mentioned fish oil, and I started taking fish oil for another, just for health, general health reasons, you know, like as a vitamin. And after, I don't know, it was maybe 3 months, I noticed that a lot of the little aches and pains that I had every day, I realized they were gone. I didn't have them anymore. And my doctor said it could well be the fish oil having at least some effect on the joints.
It's safer and acts very much like an NSAID, like ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it inserts in all of the membranes of your body. And when you cleave out stuff during inflammation, it tends to cleave out a molecule, a prostaglandin, that tends to be less inflammatory.
Oh, there we go. Jason and Cameron, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey. I have severe psoriasis, and I have been on clobetasol, and another one that started with the D, Dovenex. And triamcinolone, and I've been on those for a prolonged period of time. I'm led to believe that my skin will thin after prolonged use. And my question would be, after, like, I'm also on methotrexate, and now all of the plaques, it's actually really good, and it's doing really well, and all the plaques are gone. And what I want to know is the skin seems thin, and if there's anything that I can do to thicken it at all, I don't know, something I can eat, take.
Okay.
Not that I know of, but again, if the methotrexate's working, that won't thin the skin, and therefore perhaps you can use less of the ointments, which do thin the skin.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jason, for calling. Appreciate it. Dan in Waukesha, hi to you.
Hello. Yeah, Dan here. I have a quick question for you. When I was in high school, about 30 years ago now, I had Guillain-Barré syndrome, and I went through the typical course of prednisone and everything, and I pretty much recovered and got atrophy, but nothing serious other than that. But my real question is, what has been learned about the disease in the last 30 years, and also, does my having that disease make me predisposed for other autoimmune type disorders?
Mm. And maybe start by explaining Guillain-Barré.
So Guillain-Barré is an autoimmune disease that seems to be an isolated episode. Sometimes it can be associated with a viral infection, including influenza. It's a paralysis that's ascending. And in general, from my reading of the literature, we don't think it predisposes to any other long-term risks for any other autoimmune diseases.
Okay, so nothing to worry about in that, from that sense at least. Okay, there you go, Dan. Thanks. Patrick in Belvedere, Illinois. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. I'm suffering from systemic ulcerative colitis, currently on Humira, which sort of works. I'm at a place in life where I'm contemplating having surgery to have my entire colon removed, and I really, really do not want to do that. I have a job that, you know, having a colostomy bag would not work. Are there any emerging treatments or new drugs or studies or anything that are coming out to treat this? Is there any progress being made with UC?
Again, I'm not the world's expert on UC, particularly because that's more the gastroenterologists, but we use similar drugs. The TNFs are at the forefront. Again, sometimes we combine them with things such as methotrexate or mycophenolate, azathioprine.
All right. Does that help out, sir?
Yes, it does somewhat. You know, also, I would like to say I am being treated at the VA hospital up there in Madison. Fantastic facility. You guys do excellent work.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Facebook question from Pat. Is there any reason why there seem to be so many more of these autoimmune disorders surfacing? 20 years ago, you didn't hear much about it. It wasn't talked about as much. Now it seems like it's discussed everywhere, almost.
Yeah, I think that's probably more social than anything else. I don't know of any data that's saying that we're having a vast increase. But rheumatoid arthritis is very common. It's 1% of the population, 1 out of 100. Lupus is 1 in 1,000. So these are not uncommon. But again, we are in a greater deal of communication than we ever were before, so we hear about more things.
John in Green Bay is up next. Hi, John.
Hi there. I had a disease called Hernoschlein purpura, or HSP, about 5 years ago, and I was roughly 25 at the time. My question is, do you know of that disease reoccurring, or because it's stomach ulcers, lower extremity rash, and joint swelling, and I seem to be getting more and more ulcers as I grow older. I'm just curious if that's typical.
And again, HSP is...
So Hernoschlein purpura is an autoimmune disease that often affects the kidneys and the skin. It can affect other organs as well. Again, we don't deal with it that often. It is something that can reoccur. And again, if you feel like you're having something that might be related to that, it would be worthwhile to see somebody and make sure that you're on proper medication if needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, John, thank you for calling. Carolyn in Green Bay. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hello. I was diagnosed with lupus back in the 80s, and they prescribed me this, it's called a Medrol pack, and I believe I took five pills, four pills, because of the water weight, and they checked for rheumatoid. They checked me for everything. Then they gave me a second Medrol pack. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, would that throw me into remission? And as of today now, when I go get my blood checked, some of the stuff isn't way whacked out of the windows like it used to be. So can I get better, or does it go away?
And
I also have psoriasis, but I don't, you know, that's something totally different. But as far as the lupus, you know, I have achy joints. That's what I thought it was at first, but... Then when I couldn't walk, I had, balls on my feet, and I couldn't brush my hair, comb my... it was awful. It was awful. And I brought myself in, and they told me to come in, and they gave me something called a Medrol pack.
And have you had those kind of symptoms again?
Not since they gave me the Medrol pack. And then she said, if you start hurting again, call us right away. And I'm thinking, yeah, I kind of do. Well, then they gave me another Medrol pack, which... I kind of lost a little bit too much weight because it was all water weight, kind of. I mean, my ankles were swelled up 15 inches, but I couldn't walk or nothing. And then since then, I just get kind of achy a little bit, you know, and I take ibuprofen. Is there anything I should be worried about?
I wouldn't. You know, again, it's hard to tell what diagnosis was back then. Sometimes there are reactions to viruses that look very much like autoimmune diseases, and sometimes we give steroids such as a Medrol dose pack. Sometimes we have to give it again. And if you're not having those same symptoms, it's probably something else going on now. But again, if you're worried, see your primary. If your primary thinks it's important, we'd be glad to see you.
And a dose pack, you know, I have in my mind a pack that sits on your back, but I'm sure it's not that. When you call it, you say dose pack. When you...
So usually a Medrol dose pack is a set of pills that you can punch out. So you get 4 or 6 pills the first day, and then 5, 3, 2, 1.
Got it.
So you slowly taper off.
Got it. Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Alice in Two Harbors, Minnesota, it's your turn. Hi, Alice.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call here, and I enjoy listening to you. I have I've been battling irritable bowel syndrome my whole life, but this summer, and mine is in the form of diarrhea, but along with it, it's, and I've been through Mayo's and very, you know, good doctors, but along with it, I've been running a fever since July 4th when this started, and I just was wondering, they said the irritable bowel is kind of an autoimmune, you know, as you get older, it gets worse. But I'm just curious about why I would be having a fever since July 4th.
Well, again, you know, if you've been worked up, I think that that's important. But irritable bowel syndrome is not an autoimmune disease. Irritable bowel syndrome is more of a dysfunction of the gut with alternating constipation, diarrhea. Usually fever is not a part of that syndrome. And again, could this be evolving more to be what we would call an inflammatory bowel syndrome, which is very different, which is a true autoimmune disease as compared to irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay, here we go. Thank you for calling, Alice. Donna in West Salem. Hi.
Hi. My question is, well, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I tried Plaquenil and methotrexate and had allergic reactions to them. And I called my compounding pharmacist to ask if there was any other options. And he told me about a website. It was LDN, I believe, .org, low-dose naltrexone. And I was just curious if... the doctor uses that or prescribes it at all to people?
Yeah.
Because I had a hard time finding somebody to.
Yeah, that's not on my list of things to prescribe. I've seen that a lot in the fibromyalgia literature. Again, I don't know any good studies that would support that kind of treatment.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Donna. Mary in South Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I have Shy-Dragger syndrome.
Shy-Dragger?
Yeah, and it's autoimmune. I have fainting with it and pass out. I could be talking to you 1 minute, and next minute I'm out. It's an awful disease.
Is this an autoimmune disease? I'm not.
Yes, it is.
It is an autoimmune.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd have to go to my computer and look up Shy-Dragger because you're now pushing the edges of my knowledge. I've heard of it, but I can't bring anything out of the back of my brain here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll bet anything if you go online, you're going to be able to find some information about it for sure. Mary, I'm sorry we can't help you out any more than that. Betty in Reedsburg, it's your turn. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just started having pain in the left side of my face, and I've been seeing a neurologist and I've seen a rheumatologist, and I tested positive for Lyme's, lupus, sarcoids, they thought Sjogren's, and they told me I couldn't be positive for all of them, which I understand. I've had MRIs done, and they found spots in my head. and I had a lumbar puncture done that was negative. And I was also tested positive for lupus. So I'm just kind of wondering, you know, my face will get flare up and it'll be like on fire, and then it'll be, part of it will be numb, and then I'll have a headache on that side too. So now they've kind of said maybe Sjogren's, but I didn't think that would be just on one side of my face.
Hmm. Well, the thing about
the
thing about autoimmune diseases is that it can present like so many different things, and certainly you sound like you have a complicated case here, and the diagnosis is not clear yet. Sometimes these things do become more clear over time, but often we are presented with cases that we're not quite sure what the diagnosis is.
So it's
they put me on Neurontin for the facial pain, and
does it work?
That works. Well, yeah, I've had many drugs, but I had many side effects. So not all the time, but it is. But there was kind of an odd thing, and I know this sounds kind of strange, but I was on vacation for 11 days, and my symptoms started to get much, much better. I felt good. And I went back to work, and in 4 hours, my eyes started to get red, and in the next day, my face was on fire. Could there be any environmental thing that I might be missing?
You know, it's not impossible, but, you know, one of the things that we often talk about is the influence of stress on autoimmune diseases. And I think it's pretty clear that when people are stressed, things get worse.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
So if work is stressful, you may want to look into altering something at work.
Well, isn't everybody? But I was just wondering if you're on the right track here, and, you know, it just seems to be... I don't know.
It sounds like they're considering all possibilities. Again, it's hard for me, you know, without all the data in front of me and you in front of me, for me to make a real opinion.
Yeah. Yep. There we go. Thanks, Betty, for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Brooke in Wausau. My father has rheumatoid arthritis, which is attacking his lungs, and he's been given a year to live. Is this usual? And also, are autoimmune disorders genetic?
Two good questions. Rheumatoid arthritis is known to affect the lungs in many ways. Again, I don't know exactly what way his lungs are being affected. And again, I couldn't make any opinions on giving anybody a year to live. Looking at the genetic side of things, what's interesting about autoimmune diseases is that the genetics are not very firm. You can think about them as perhaps you need somewhere between 3 and 10 genes that might need to come together in a single individual, along with perhaps also something out from the environment, a bacteria, a virus, and that combination of those several genes, T-cell receptor genes, genes from the major histocompatibility complex, the transplantation antigens, and something from the environment, in the case of lupus, even ultraviolet light can affect that. So it's complicated, but the most important part about that is it's not a strict inheritance, so that if your father has it, the chances of you getting a disease might be increased a tiny bit, but it's very, very small.
Is as to psoriasis, is there a connection with wheat consumption and psoriasis? And can vitamin D derivatives sometimes help?
Good question. Good questions. First of all, we don't think that there's any direct connection between psoriasis and gluten. But we know that gluten sensitivity can take many forms, including that can cause rashes. And being tested for, you know, gluten sensitivity would be important. The second part of that...
Vitamin D?
Vitamin D we know is important in many areas of immune responses. And there is some evidence that it might be important in autoimmune diseases. Again, it would be one of those small environmental contributors, but certainly everybody should be vitamin D sufficient. And we know a lot of people are vitamin D deficient these days.
And a Facebook question from Lois. I have diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, though I have none of the physical indicators except the results of blood tests indicating a high rheumatoid factor. This makes no sense to me. Could you comment?
That's another very good question, because many people walk around with high titers of rheumatoid factors and anti-nuclear antibodies, and those do not make a diagnosis in themselves. It's very rare that we can make a diagnosis off of lab tests. Really, the way I teach it is autoimmune disease is a diagnosis by clinical, history, some physical exam, and then way down the line, x-rays, MRIs, and other lab diagnostic testing.
Okay, and Linda, do you have a quick question?
Hello?
Hi, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, well, I had a couple, like, what were the early stages of rheumatoid arthritis, and, like, how young does someone have to be to get it?
Yeah, those are good questions.
Well, rheumatoid arthritis itself is usually considered a disease of adults, but there is juvenile rheumatoid arthritis that it contains many forms that can be very, very young in presentation. Some of that will develop into a true, what we would call a regular rheumatoid arthritis, and some of them will develop into other kinds of similar types, autoimmune diseases.
Thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call. And Dr. Muller, thank you so much. I guess I'm just looking here at the clock, and I think, oh, my goodness, we're out of time. The time flew by. I hope you'll have a chance to come back and be with us again.
I'd love to.
Dr. Daniel Muller, by the way, we put up, Judith, in her usual great fashion, put up a link to his, Dr. Muller's book. And so we have that up on my Facebook page as well, if in case you're interested in taking a look at it or getting a copy. He's an associate professor of rheumatology at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And great to talk with him, and we'll, I'm sure, at some point get back into this. Just taking a look at what we're doing tomorrow, we'll continue our series on the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act with a look at Wisconsin's natural areas. And then at 11:45, folks from the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center stop by. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.